We read the Holy Scriptures this morning in the book of Genesis, and we'll begin in Genesis 18 with the first 15 verses. And maybe we could, before we do that, look at Genesis 17 at verse 15. So let's start there, Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her, yea, I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. Ishmael is the son of Hagar and Abraham. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready, quickly, 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Now we go to Genesis 21, where is our text at verse 6. We'll read the first 6 verses of Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. May God bless his word to our hearts. Our text this morning is that last verse. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. In God's word, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, we read, to everything there is a season, and to every purpose under the heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. This morning in the house of God, it is a time that we laugh in holy joy before our faithful God who keeps every promise that he has ever spoken to us in Christ Jesus. Every promise that he has spoken to us in Christ, centered in Christ, in the washing away of our sins, in establishing a bond of love and fellowship with us in Christ, and in the oath that he makes in this sacrament, that I will be good to you, and I will keep you, and I will work all things for your salvation. This morning, as we have observed the sacrament, it is a time for us to laugh, not in the laughter of this world, not in a put-on laughter, not in an artificial laughter, but in a laughter that belongs to the child of God when God reveals how gracious, how faithful, how good, how kind he is to us in Christ. The word Isaac means laughter. We read that God himself had selected this name for Abraham and Sarah's son. He selected it when at first Abraham laughed at God. And Sarah also, she remembers in our text, had also laughed. Although she's not referring to that cynical laugh, that sneering laugh, that almost cynical laugh that she laughed while she was behind the tent listening to God that she would have a son. She's not referring to that laughter. She's referring in the text to a joyful laughter of faith. But both Abraham and Sarah had laughed when God spoke to them of a promise that now had become impossible to them. And now God says, call him laughter. Call your son Isaac laughter. And now laugh with me. Laugh with Sarah. In joy and praise that God is the God who keeps every promise that he has made to us. Do you and I this morning come to God in our life with the situation as Abraham and Sarah, which is impossible? We cannot see how that promise can possibly be true. And are we tempted to laugh and say, sure, yeah. Sarah says to you and me and to all the people of God, all that hear what God has done for me will laugh with me. Let's do that. Let's laugh in praise to God with Sarah. We'll follow 3 points. First of all, we have an unbelieving laugh. Then secondly, we have a joyful laugh, And then a little different than what's in the outline and bulletin, let's see that this is a contagious laugh. An unbelieving laugh, a joyful laugh, a contagious laugh. The Word of God in our text in Genesis 21 brings us to an incredibly happy scene. Everyone at that scene could not help but grinning from ear to ear. Abraham and Sarah, 190 years between them, never having a child, stood in fulfillment of God's promise. For Sarah now swaddles and holds in her own arms, close to her, a child, Isaac. And this child is a special child, for he is the promised child. The promise of Christ is in Isaac. And a joy now, an overwhelming joy, a simple, joyful happiness is in their heart as they see that God has kept every promise that he has made. The joy that was in their heart is the joy of which Jesus spoke to us in John 16 when he said that our sorrow that we will endure in this life shall be turned to joy. When he said, "My joy I will give to you, a joy no man can take from you." That was the joy they had. But it had not always been that way. Behind the image of our text of all of its happiness, there was a pathway to which they had led, a difficult, trying pathway of trials. They had gone through times of disbelief. They had gone through times when they did not believe that the promises could possibly come to pass, when God's word and promise was preposterous to them. Times when they even, as I said, became cynical and said, "Oh yeah, sure." They laughed. God had made promises to Abraham and to Sarah, covenant promises. These promises we sang in 425 are the very promises that have been fulfilled and the very promises that God makes to us. Let's rehearse those promises. It began, first of all, that God had promised to Abraham and Sarah that by his love he would make them his friends. He would bring them to himself out of a world and show them his grace and friendship of covenant. And so Abraham was called the friend of God. And God called him out of Ur of Chaldees. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thee great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the nations, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." God had promised that he would establish a covenant with Abraham and with all of his own out of all the nations of the world. That's the promise of the covenant to us in baptism. But more, God had promised Abraham not only a friendship, but he had promised to him a place of rest, a land, a blessing where he would enjoy that fellowship of God, Canaan. He had said to Abraham, Genesis 13, verse 14, "Lift up thine eyes from the place where thou standest, for all the land that thou seest, I will give it to you forever." And Abraham understood. Hebrews 11 tells us, Abraham understood that God was speaking of a country that the human eye could not see, of a land that was better, a heavenly, and that God was preparing for them a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then third, God promised Abraham and Sarah that he would do all of this. He would gather out of the nations through the generation of believers, that God would bring this blessing of covenant fellowship and love with God from generation to generation. God said, "In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So that Abraham is called the father of all the Jews? No, the father of all the faithful, of all who believe. That is, God said, "Abraham, this seed of promise will be carried in your generations, in believing generations, for another 2,000 years until the Christ be born. And then that very seed of promise, your generations through the disciples will bring to the nations. And then I will also bless from generation to generation so that I will fulfill my promise from generation to generation." That was the astounding promise. "You will be my friend. I will gather through you a people for rest and glory. And I will do so in your generations." But all of those promises depended on a son. And not a son, but the Son of Promise. The one that God spoke of to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman, our Lord Jesus Christ, who would crush Satan's head and redeem us to his God. Genesis 17, verse 7, "I will establish my covenant between thee," speaking to Abraham, "and thy seed," singular, "after thee." And the Apostle Paul, in Galatians 3, verse 16, points to that verse. That verse we read every time we have baptism. Genesis 17, verse 7, "I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee." Paul refers to that verse and he says this, "Now to Abraham and to his seed," singular, "were the promises made. God saith not," God did not say, "and to seeds," God did not say, "I will establish my covenant between me and thy seeds," plural, but God said, singular, "seed, as of one," says Paul, "and to thy seed," which, this is what Paul says, Galatians 3:16, "which is Christ." The promise to Abraham and Sarah would be, yes, I will continue that promise of bringing the great seed of the woman, the Savior. And now I make that promise to you, Abraham and Sarah, that Sarah shall have a son. And in that way of her having a son and another son will come the Savior. I'm making a promise to you of my Son, Jesus Christ. And so we say that all of God's promises center in Christ. That's the hub of the promise of God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. "For all the promises of God are in Him," that is, in Christ, "yea and amen, unto the glory of God." God had promised all of these things by grace in Christ, that He would send a Savior. And therefore He had promised that Abraham and Sarah shall have a son in that line that would bring the Christ. And that Christ would then come from his generation. And that in Christ all of the promises of God are fulfilled and realized with us. That in God's Son He would wash us from our sins. He would give us an inheritance to everlasting life. He would dwell in our hearts by His Spirit. He would make us glad. But all the promises depended on a son. And as yet, Abraham and Sarah had no son. And it was now, when he was born, just before he was born, it had passed from improbable. Improbable means there might have been a chance for it. but it had passed now to impossible. It was not possible. When that promise first came to Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was 75 years old and Sarah was 65 years old, and we are told that Sarah was barren. She had not had children. Yet the scriptures constantly remind us that Sarah was a beautiful woman. She was vibrant. She was strong. And it could yet be, humanly, that she would have a son. Abraham and Sarah, having received that promise, walked in fellowship with God for 25 years. They lived in their marital relationships. And month after month, they waited. And nothing happened. Everyone around them was having children. And they wondered. They talked about it. It was on their mind all the time, all the time. And God preserved them when they became weak. When Abraham, you remember, went to Egypt and he lied to Pharaoh, "She's my sister." And Pharaoh took Sarah for himself. And God said to Pharaoh, "If you touch her, you die." Though God preserved it, there was no child. And what were they supposed to think? What were they supposed to do? Every month was an emotional roller coaster. Their hopes would come up only to be dashed again. They asked each other, "What's happening? Is God's promise true? Can it really be?" And so Sarah said, after 15 years, she said to Abraham, "Maybe God means you, Abraham, not me. So you should take Hagar, my handmaid, and have a son." And they did. His name was Ishmael. But that made everything a mess. When they tried to help, when they tried to solve this on their own, when Abraham and Sarah, listen now, young couples, all of us, when Abraham and Sarah stepped outside of their marital covenant, when they stepped outside of their own marriage, they stepped outside of that marriage for an answer, for a solution to their present distress. When they did that, it was a mess. Their home life was shattered. The relationship between the two of them was hurt. They made it worse. And now after 25 years, their doubts have turned to despair, and the improbable is now impossible, for we read, "It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." Sarah had gone through menopause. She had no monthly cycle. She did not ovulate. And though she had lived strong and a beautiful and a vibrant woman, it was over. There was no hope anymore. And then we read of Abraham. Sarah said of Abraham, "Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And then in Hebrews 11, verse 12, we read, "Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed." And then verse 12, "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky." Abraham was as good as dead. That is, as far as the possibility of Abraham at that point conceiving a child, Abraham could just as well have been dead. Abraham was not only infertile, But he was impotent. Sarah said, "Shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also?" It was preposterous. The Lord said, "Sarah, Abraham, Sarah thy wife, at this set time she is going to have, in 9 months she will have a son." And to them it was impossible. That could not happen. And in the weakness of their faith, they laughed. Can't be. Can't be. And we have been there with them in this laughter. "Nay," says God, "but thou didst laugh." When we look at ourselves and at this present world, as a young couple now, you are called to raise this son. You are called to raise him that he may live holy unto Jehovah God in this world, in this present world of abounding wickedness, when wickedness is up front, when wickedness is prevailing. I said 2 weeks ago that although the world looks so chaotic to us, it is not chaotic. The world is organized, and the world is organized against Christ and against his seed and against godliness and especially against the children of the church. It's organized that there'll be none. And I'm not going to ask this morning whether or not that world that we refer to is affecting us, but beloved, I'm not going to ask, it is. The question is, how deeply has it affected us? How have we assumed in our thinking the morality, the values, the philosophy of this present world? And you must raise this boy in this present evil world holy unto God. And perhaps as parents, when we see all around us, and as grandparents, we laugh. It's not possible. It's not possible. Or God comes to us with special needs children. We did not know that it would be like this. We did not know that God would so touch us through our children like this. Can we handle this? Or perhaps your home is broken. Your marriage is troubled. There is unfaithfulness. There's bringing up, there's the fear before you of bringing up your children alone. You see other families around you that are so blessed, but that's not true for you this morning. You wonder, how can I do this? How can God's promises be true to me? All my hopes are being dashed. Or there's wayward children turning from the church, turning from the Jesus Christ that we love and cherish. And we say, see God's promises perhaps to other families, but what about to me? I can't see them. It's not possible. Sure, we say, but it's not true. Or we come to God this morning with the burden of our sins. We see that we have been such a fool in our sin. We have ruined, we have spoiled our entire life, our married life, our entire life and reputation. It's all wasted. We don't believe. We can hardly believe that God would be merciful now to me. He can't be merciful to me. Or we look this morning for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise to us too, of a Son, the Son of God coming from heaven to redeem us and to bring the church to glory. Is He coming? Is He really coming? Or how can that be with all the apostasy? And when more and more the church and we are setting our hearts upon this world and the church getting smaller and smaller, will it be? And then there's the promise that God makes in the blood of Christ. That great promise, Romans 8:28, that He will work all things together for good to them that love Him. All things. All that has happened to us, the sorrow and the death, and the desertion of a spouse, and perhaps something I haven't mentioned that you have carried into God's house this morning. You know what it is, and God knows what it is. And it is that impossible thing. And we're tempted to laugh and say, it can't be. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not going to hope. God's promise just can't be. God changed Sarah's laughter of unbelief to joy. God fulfilled every promise He made. And God changed Sarah's laughter to a laughter of faith whereby she embraced the impossible promises of God in Jesus Christ. God gave Sarah faith. Faith in His word. He had said to Abraham and Sarah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there? It's always a good question for us to ask, especially when we stand in the fulfillment of all of the scriptures and the fulfillment of us and the sacrament swearing to us that this is true, and this is true for us, these promises are true. It's a good question for us to ask ourselves, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And so Abraham and Sarah fell in their faith for a time, as we do. But they repented, and they believed. They believed before the child was born. I'll point that out in a moment. It wasn't just the change took place in Sarah when she held the baby in her arms. Of course, that was the confirmation of God's promise. So she had the confirmation and she rejoiced. We have the confirmation. And we rejoice. But Sarah was changed to joyful laughter before that. She was changed by the word of God. She was changed by faith. By faith. Through faith. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive child when she was past age and was delivered of a son. A faith that believed all things, bore all things, and endured all things. Now, how did God do that? Brought about this change from unbelief to joy. Well, Sarah tells us in our text, she says, God has made me to laugh. Well, how did God do that? Well, God did that by speaking to Sarah, verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did to Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, for this to happen, God did perform a miracle, as all conception ultimately is a miracle of God. God did open her womb. God did give her to ovulate. God did restore to Abraham. God did that so that a 90-year-old woman with a 100-year-old man conceived through their marital relationships. That's true. But God did this by the power of His word of promise. In verses 2, there's a repetition. It keeps saying the same thing three times. As the Lord said, as the Lord spoken, at the time that God had spoken of. God did this through belief in His word. God said, Sarah and Abraham, I'm going to do this. And I'm speaking to you my word of promise, and my word of promise is from Him who cannot lie. God's word has the certainty. The word of God has the power and the certainty of God self, because it is God's word. The last Psalter number we're going to sing this morning as we leave will be, His word is faithful now as then. Blessed be His name. Amen. Amen. It was the word of God that changed Sarah from unbelief to joy. That's how God does it with us. His word, what He has said. And now, especially in the New Covenant, the confirmation of that word in the two sacraments of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. So that this is why children and young people, this is why we come to church. We go through a week. And the entire week seems to contradict the promises of God. How can it be? How can it be? And then we come here and we hear the Word of God as, that's why it must be the Word of God, as I have spoken, says God, so shall it be. And then not only do we hear, but then we see in baptism the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace. When God says, I have given my own son's blood to ratify the promises unto the elect. And when we hear and see, how can we but rejoice in the promises of God? God says that in spite of the deadness of our womb spiritually. It's no different than Abraham and Sarah for a believing couple. Spiritually, our womb is dead. We can only bring forth, we confess, a child conceived in sin and subject to the wrath of God. Yet, God promises us and we trust in His promise. I, by the power of my regenerating grace, I will work in the hearts of the elect born to you. I will make them alive. And we laugh with Sarah. And God used His word and a faith in Sarah and Abraham that Hebrews 11, verse 11, through faith Sarah received strength to conceive a child. Through faith she received strength to conceive a child. What does that mean? Well, it's that Isaac's conception in Sarah was not like Christ's conception in the Virgin Mary. There was no man. God did that. But that verse means that Abraham and Sarah had to, did engage in marital relationships in faith, in hope. 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman past menopause lived together in faith. And God, by His mighty power, brought to pass His promises. faith, faith in the promises of God brings obedience to those promises and to the Word. So, today we don't sit back and say, well, God is in His promises. He is. And if He's going to fulfill and work in our children, He will. No, no. Faith receives strength. And faith follows in obedience to the Word of God. And so, we bring up our children. We seek to form for our children a vibrant, believing, covenant home. As a father in faith in this present world, you don't say, well, God's just going to preserve them. But you say, God will use the means of a family altar. I'm going to be at my home. I'm going to be leading my children. I'm going to be reading to them and teaching them the Scriptures. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to live faithfully with her. As husband and wife, you prepare and you build a spiritual home for your son and for your daughter. This is what we vow in baptism. Baptism is the promise. This is what God will do. But as we come to baptism, we vow a vow in faith to God that I will bring them up to the utmost of my power in the church, in a Christian home, Scripture, and by my example. I will support their education in our Christian schools. I have vowed this vow through faith. And God does the impossible. God works in their hearts. God brings up a covenant seed. And we rejoice. Sarah's laughter is contagious. All who hear what God has done, of how God has fulfilled His promise, as she swaddles this little Isaac in her arms and holds him so tight and tender, she says, everybody who hears what God did, she becomes a prophet. Everybody who hears what God did to me will laugh just for me. Won't be happy for me, but with me. They'll have the same joy that I have. What was that joy? Joy in God who does the impossible. Joy in God who keeps every promise that He ever made. All who hear me, remember? There was a woman called Mary who also asked when she was told that the Holy Spirit would conceive in her the Lord Jesus. She said, how can that be? I'm not married. And the angel said, is anything too hard for the Lord? You remember Zacharias and Elizabeth, when they were told that they would have a son called John, and Zacharias laughed. That can't be. And the angel said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And do you remember what Mary and Elizabeth did when they became pregnant? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and I rejoice in God my Savior. Hath turned our weeping to joy. God turns our sorrow to laughter. All of His promises in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. They shall certainly be fulfilled. When we stand before God, His Word, His promise in baptism, it is time to laugh with Sarah. My soul shall be joyful in God, and I will rejoice in God my Savior. Amen. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God. We know that Thy Word is spoken always in weakness. Wilt Thou be pleased to use it in power. We pray that we may look to Christ and to the confirmation of his saving work in baptism, and that it may be for our faith a great encouragement, so that when we face the impossibility of thy promise to us in our life, we might give glory to thee, that we might believe that thy promises in Christ are yea and amen to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.